You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
As usual, we kick off with how the markets have performed throughout the day. It has been a very interesting day of market movements, and I'm joined, as we are every Wednesday, by Sasfin Wealth's David Shapiro to take a look at some of the market movements and try and make sense of what's been going on. Uncle David, good evening. Lovely to speak to you. As always, US CPI data came out. We came in bang in line with expectations. Why did the market sell off then?
I have no idea, honestly, I think, you know, if you break it down, it was in line with the expectations, and there's this, one element that actually put everybody back, and that was the called shelter, and I don't know how they define shelter. It's rentals, but it's an extremely difficult number to understand. But the good news now, as I look at the U.S. markets, they're clawing their way back. The NASDAQ is in positive territory, and the S&P is only down about 0.5%. By the end of the day, we'll be back into positive territory. I think that it was a knee-jerk reaction to a number without really understanding what made it up, because the trend is still negative. So, you know, it knocked our market as well. It kind of just knocked it off the perch. We were under a bit of pressure because of commodity markets, the oil price falling. And you know, I heard you introducing that, you know, the Amplats book build. That had significant impact on our market as well. Just also destabilized platinum shares. We'll be okay.
What surprised me, Uncle David, was the fact that financial stocks were just sold off in South Africa as well. I mean, at some point, the financial sector was down more than 2%. We managed to claw back to about 1.6% before or by the end of the day. But still, that was even before we got the the time we got the U.S. numbers.
You saw yesterday what happened in the United States, J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and really J.P. Morgan came under severe pressure, losing, I think, something like 6 or 7% on views that they've lowered expectations. And Jimmy, it's a point I've had on our bank stocks as well. Where the environment is not creative, you know, where there's no activity taking place, where there's no transactions, mergers and acquisitions, and a strong economy, it's very hard for banks to make money. Yes, they can make money by lending out a little or trading a bit, but it eventually impacts on their profitability. So you need a good underlying economy to drive banks. And I think this is what's coming through in America. And even the trading banks, you know, which is Goldman, obviously they've had a bad quarter or something, and there were warnings out there on their trading as well. So I think we just kind of brushed off onto our banks.
When we look at our banks, would a portion of that be attributable to, as you mentioned, I mean, they rely on transactions taking place, but we've seen banks be very clear about being restrictive on their lending policies. Now, that is a good thing that banks are restrictive, but are they perhaps being too restrictive?
Much too restrictive. You know, you can't get a loan. You know, Jimmy, I promise you, I'll bet you. You know, you can knock on all the five banks and say, "I want a loan." You know, and if you haven't got any kind of collateral, if you haven't got a rich daddy or married well or something, you're not going to get a loan. You know, they don't lend money. Our banks, and they certainly don't lend money for ventures. So they look after it very, very carefully, and that allows them to make the kind of profits they do, and not be sunk by bad debts or so on. So there is a point there. And there's, you know, no transactions. There's no fixed investment taking place. There's nothing of a great nature. So I think that is – you're going to see that on, you know, come through in bank results. They'll be very steady, give you nice dividends, but very difficult to grow.
Uncle David, when we look at the commodity space, prices have been under pressure for the longest time, but today, for the first time, probably in about a month or so, palladium's back above $1,000. The Brent crude price bodes well for us when it's below $70 because we're a net importer, but not on the global scale. How are the markets kind of feeling about commodities pricing? Because the prices look good, but our commodities counters continue to suffer.
Yeah, it's scary. You know, it's very, very scary. And I think led by oil, you can take that as an indicator because with Brent under 70, and you saw OPEC said, okay, they were actually going to decrease production. You know, they were talking about it. Not now. You know, certainly not now with prices where they are. And that's indicative of demand, you know, in the that's the one area that worries me. You know, I'm not concerned about soft landings or anything like that, but China and the commodity market just makes me feel a little uncomfortable. I think why platinum and palladium might be ticking up is that there's kind of a move away from electric vehicles towards the hybrids, you know, where there will be some use of platinum and palladium. So we need interest rates to come down. We need over a prolonged period and come down dramatically and globally, get growth back in that, and we'll see the bottom of this commodity market. But for the meantime, it's teaching you lesson number one, don't speculate in commodities, you know.
It is certainly a learning curve.
Calling the bottom. Now we're at the bottom. Next week. No, I'm sorry about last week, but this time we're definitely at the bottom, you know.
How much, realistically speaking, lower can we go? Because markets, have really been under pressure for a long time. And yes, as you said, the China part of it is a big part of it. But how much further down is there even a bottom below this bottom?
I don't think. I still believe that, you know, it takes a long time to form the bottom, but we are at the bottom. You know, so if you understand, it's made over time. It's not made over a price. So we will scrape along here and some good news will come and turn it around. But if you're a holder of Anglo Plat shares, you know, you're going to have to explain it to your wife. You know?
Tough conversations to be had. Difficult conversations.
You get to the supper table and say, how was your day? How are your Anglo Plats doing? You say, well, can we just pass the water?
I think that's all platinum counters, though. I mean, I'm looking at Northam. Yeah. It's not very different. I'm looking at Implats. That's also in the same boat. It's just all platinum counters, regardless of the platinum price at the moment. They just keep finding a deeper hole to dig into.
Yeah, I know. It's frightening. I don't know what to say in the sense that somewhere along the line, you know, your thesis that we're at the bottom, I think, will start to hold. I was surprised at Anglo Plats. You know, that I know you're going to discuss it later, but for me, it's Anglo American going to the pawn shop, PAWN shop, you know, and saying, okay, yeah, my auntie gave me this bracelet for my birthday, you know, take some money, because they're raising billions. I don't know whether they still own 73%, so it'll take a long time to do it this way. You know, it's not going to be the ideal way. So I think they're just raising cash. You know, that to me is what it seems about. We need 7 billion. We've got debt. We need it for a project. Let's sell off a few Anglo Plats, you know, which is a strange way of doing it. So I think this was more or less a desperate move to raise some money.
That's a very interesting take on it. And I wonder, from that perspective, does that then mean, because you've got this quality asset that you can kind of, you know, you can go to the market and raise capital with, is this perhaps testing the waters as well to say, can we get a little higher than 515 Rand? Can we potentially get 600 Rand a share? Is the market willing to do that?
It could be. You might be right there. They might have just been testing the market. And 515 was a failure. It wasn't the greatest. If that was where they are, you know, certainly in this kind of market, I would have thought they would have done a lot better. I really mean it. At 515, you know, the share was down, 11-12% today. So that tells you exactly what the appetite was. And I think the people who took it just said, okay, well, let's have a punt. You know, we're going to make money out of this.
Free money did scare the market.
Yeah,
certainly spooked the market, and I think the market remains spooked for a variety of reasons, most of which we have tried to understand, but can't seem to get to the bottom of. Thanks, as always, Uncle David, for the time and for the insights. Always lovely speaking to you. David Shapiro of Sasfin Wealth joining me to reflect on the day that was and try to make sense of what moved markets.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.